Welcome to Try Not to Blink. Today's show is going to remind you of some of the top kids' eye facts, introduce the concept of SEO, and discuss with our in-house tech expert how you can get your website to the top of every Google search.
Imagine, you know, if you know you're playing, everyone else is in the peewees, and all of a sudden you like level up to like World Cup status.
We'd like to thank the amazing people at Valley Contacts who have made this podcast possible, makers of stellar gas permeable lenses and the incredible custom stable scleral lens. I'm your host, Dr. Roya Habibi, and joining me is Dr. Sheila Morrison. Let's do this. Hey, girl.
Hey, how are you today?
Oh, you know.
Nice to see ya.
I know. Very nice to see you. Very pleasant day. I'm excited about our guest, but I won't talk too much about who it is yet. But you know what we haven't done in a little while that I think might be kind of fun is maybe going over a cell pod of the day, whether it be scleral lens pearl or GP lens pearl. Obviously, scleral lens pearl of the day is what cell pod stands for, but give us a pearl of, you know, maybe it's something you've been learning recently, or at least for me, sometimes I feel like I come against a problem and I'm like, do I even know what I'm doing? Right? Like, do you ever feel like that comes up?
Yeah. So, okay. We can switch. We could do a cell pod.
Always do it.
Cell pod. So, all right. So there's always stuff. The first, I guess, when you said, do we really know what we're doing, kind of triggered, an experience that comes up frequently in the clinic. You know, those patients that you work miracles. So you get these people in, they have no usable vision. They're very much, you know, relying on some solution from you. You give them back their 20, 25. Have we talked about this before? This is seeing,
I don't think so.
Very, okay, cool. And so you give them back their from 2200, they're up to like a close 2025, almost 2020 nearly. And you're just celebrating, so proud of yourself, but they hate their vision.
Yes.
So you're like, are you kidding me? They're like, and so I guess my cell pod is that patients that you give them back usable vision in an eye, this happens all too often that they'll either get a little ghost from having clarity, but that's not quite there yet, or they aren't used to it. Or one thing that happens a lot in our clinic that I notice a lot is BV stuff comes up. So people who have had decreased vision in one eye for some period of time, you know, you give them back two eye vision and they instantly hate their vision. You need to do some form of a cover test or something just to make sure that you're not dealing with eye muscle teaming that needs to take a little bit of an adjustment period before you panic and let it realign. Because patients will bring their, you know, because if you think about it, they're used to suppressing an eye in that case, maybe, or not used to having any kind of clarity of vision in both eyes. And so it does take the brain a minute to wake up again, assuming that the brain does have that capability in that person. So two things, monocular versus binocular, double vision or ghosting or poor quality vision, and just take a second before you panic, because usually more times than not, it kind of works itself out and people get used to it and they like it. Sometimes you have to actually blur an eye intentionally if they just can't quite get used to it, or they can't quite adjust to that super sharp vision that they're not used to, where they have sharp enough vision, they can see the ghost from their irregularity and they prefer a little bit of a blurred out world. You know, give them plus a half and see if they like it better.
I love that. You know, I think to all of us, this is, so your pearl essentially is if they're not happy with their vision, wait. That's what we're getting at, right? Wait.
Yeah.
Wait it out.
Think outside of the box.
Yeah. Wait maybe until the follow-up and then like give the patient a little reassurance that this, like your brain hasn't been seeing well for a long time. It needs time to do that. So let's see you back in a week or two and double check. So that's number one. I'm going to tail off yours because I would say my pearl is that we are so used to finding perfect vision, you know, in our normal comprehensive care. We're going to find the BCVA, best corrected visual acuity. But pushing extra minus on somebody who they're going to probably take, even someone who's a little older, let's say 50, 55, they're going to take a little extra minus because they're getting that sharp darkness. But I would say do your best to undercorrect, you know, right at the level or a little less. because that extra minus is only going to elicit some of that glare and like symptoms of myopia that maybe they haven't felt before, because they're mostly in the myopic range, right? Like, of course, most people have keratoconus, so it's a different, you know, pathology than true myopia, but most of them can't see far. And so when you correct their distance vision perfectly, you're so proud of the fact that you can see 20/20 or 20/15 or whatever it is that's great for them, but they're not going to be so happy about that, functionally speaking. So don't overdo it is my tip.
Nailed it. Especially in those that are 40 plus. That's another whole.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Love it.
You have something to tell us, don't you?
I do. IFAX, kids IFAX today. So, it came up in the clinic. You know, it's kind of fun to have engaging things to teach your own kids or have in the clinic as little, you know, fun little pieces of info for those kids that are starting to be interested. Would you like, so I've got a good list. These are actually, I love these. They're actually, some of them are kind of funny. Some are fun. Let's start with the weight. What do you think the weight of the human eye would be, Raya? Give me something that's comparable. Maybe
a grape.
If you're a grape. Really?
Yeah, maybe like
how much a grape weight. You can Google that. Grapes are really lightweight.
I don't know. Like, that's my guess.
Are they heavy? Feels like an eyeball thing. Well, so the eyeball of a human weighs approximately 28 grams.
Okay.
So that is about the weight of a AA battery. It's kind of heavy.
So like
compared to a grape. Yeah.
Not a grape.
No, it's definitely heavier than a grape. So kind of cool. Okay, how about this one? Even though they're like this, you know, you use grapes for on Halloween, peel them and make little eyeballs for the kids.
Not it.
That is not it. You missed the mark.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
AA battery. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. The human eye can distinguish 500 different shades of gray. 500 different shades.
Not 50.
From each other. Yeah, not 50. I didn't even think of that. No, even better. It's 500. So that's kind of cool. Okay, what about this one? People generally read 25% slower on a computer screen versus paper.
Yeah.
I know.
Is a Kindle considered paper or a computer screen?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. So I'm going to guess that it's, you know, if it's kind of the mat, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, you know.
We'll Google that. That'll be on the next
show. We'll Google it later. Yeah. Yeah. Average blinks per minute is about 12 times. That's more than 10,000 times a day. So we know this, but 10,000 times a day sounds a lot to a kid.
It does. You
know,
yeah.
If they understand numbers yet, then they know if they understand what 10,000 is really big, that's a pretty cool stat.
How about this
one's really fun. If you lined up all of the eyelashes that you shed in your lifetime, it would add up to about 98 feet. That's far.
That is far.
That's very far. 100
feet.
Eyelash
is
100 ladder.
Feet a, what's 100 feet?
I don't know. Let's Google this too. 100 feet is far. So
what is a football field again? Is that in meters or feet? I think it's in feet.
I'm Googling it as we speak. I'm Googling it because this is, okay. So a football field from end zone to end zone is 360 feet. That's huge.
Okay, so a third of a football field. But still, that's a lot for a little eyelash.
That's a lot. It is.
What about the people who have fake lashes?
Oh, God.
What about people who use Latisse? Maybe they have a football field.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've got to update these stats. Okay, how about this one? This one's really cool. Well, actually, no. Now that I think about it, it's kind of intuitive. It is impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. So next time, try it. Next time you feel that coming on, just seriously try, and let me know how it goes.
I want to know, you know, when like patients ask you these weird questions that like everyone sits and is curious about, that's a perfect example. It's like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to like pretend sneeze. I don't know why.
It's just like a built-in reflex. We need to have some name. Like it's the Sheila reflex.
It's something.
It's the Kazuntite reflex.
Kazuntite. It's probably out there online somewhere. Your eyes will focus on 50 things per second. I worked in a eye tracking lab. I just remembered this when I was in university as a lab assistant for a really cool lab that studied, Dr. Joan Vickers, had years and years of studying this thing called the quiet eye. And okay. what we looked at was putting eye trackers onto athletes, including like speed skating. Well, it started out on athletes and looking at things like their saccades and fixations. And we found, well, she found over years, I just helped her out in a few projects. Like, it wasn't my idea. It was definitely her idea, but it's cool and very famous in that, you know, athletes that are elite would have longer periods of that quiet fixation than novice athletes, which had more eye movements that were jerkier. So we actually did a cool study following that, looking, putting eye trackers on surgeons who were very experienced versus new doing surgeries or mock surgeries on cadavers.
Okay.
And looking at how fast dissections were on things like, I think it was like the carotid artery or there was a, or somewhere in the thyroid. And yeah, it was really cool because the eyes, the fixations and focus points per second, is it just blows your mind how much.
So it's more the eyes like do. People who are more experienced have more fixations or less?
Less. So they're more steady. So they actually don't dart their eyes around as often. And athletes will look where their gaze position is, say like a speed skater. And this is not, they didn't know what other athletes were looking at would have longer fixations further in the distance, looking at a target that was, so there's really cool things related to performance and eye movements just to go off tangent a little bit. But yeah, eyes do focus on about 50 things per second, which is, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
You know, if you think about it. Yeah. So kind of neat. And very then cool. Finally, hawks and eagles see almost 8 times better than humans. That's pretty sharp, sharp vision. Because I think like 2020 feels pretty good, but I guess we don't know any different.
So they see 20
looks like. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this measurement is for. Yeah. Yeah. 22. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if it's just very small or very like very high contrast, very detailed from far away. Like, I don't know what that means. If it's what is better. Like, what
maybe they have more cones in their retina. You have a lot of research to do. You have a lot of questions that you left us with. We need answers to each of these. I expect it in the coming episode. So get to studying.
It's a problem with science. You answer one question, it opens like 15 more every single time. It's the worst.
There you go.
It never ends.
It really leaves us for more to want, or whatever that saying is.
Yeah.
More wanting.
More to be desired. Or
more
like
to be
wanting more. Wanting more. Just,
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Well, we have a fun episode today. All right. This has been, I think, one of our like biggest circlebacks when it comes to guests. But I was looking and episode number 9, we had this honorary guest back August 2018, which is wild to think about. But I am extra honored to be able to invite my right-hand man and best buddy, husband, managing partner, CEO extraordinaire, back onto the show, Patrick Allen. Welcome. Oh,
thank you. I'm excited to be here. I can't believe it's been that long.
It's really, really wild. It feels like, it doesn't feel like yesterday, but it does feel like it was recently.
It definitely doesn't feel
it's
like
not funny.
200 plus episodes.
No.
Time is a warp. It's really crazy. I mean, we're heading into fall already.
It's weird.
Well, you guys don't have seasons there, though, do you?
We only have two.
We're heading in. Yeah. Patrick, you can explain.
It's either beautifully sunny every day or during rainy season, it occasionally rains in the afternoon, like every couple.
And it's still beautifully sunny most days.
Exactly. Honestly, I love the rainy season, too.
That is a big contrast to Canada. Let me tell you, you guys know our four seasons.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, and I do look forward to that visit in the winter soon. You'll be in for a shock. But
I mean,
the mountains are beautiful. The snow is deep. You know, it's one of the best times of year.
The snow part, the best time. I mean, I'm happy to have given up any shoveling of snow. There's actually a funny like marketing ad on the way into our office, and it says, it's from a real estate company. It says free lifetime shoveling of your home with purchase of home or something like that.
Free snow removal.
How do they
free snow removal?
Who does that for the rest? How can they guarantee that for a lifetime?
Well, there's no snow here.
Well, it's never snowed here.
In Costa Rica, no.
I need
snow.
Another sip of coffee. Yeah. I like that. That's funny.
No, that's good.
That's witty. Yeah.
Like most people, like our employees have never seen snow.
Yeah.
IRL. Never. Like, think about it. It, like, never drops below. I mean, higher up in the mountains, it'll get colder. I don't know. How cold do you think it is, Patrick? up in the mountains?
Like
coldest 50 probably?
Oh, coldest. Yeah. I mean, that's
which is for Celsius people is like divided by, so it's like 15, 14?
Yeah.
Max coldness.
It's pretty nice weather, actually. So that's your coldest. So our coldest, as you know, I mean, we do get minus 40 Celsius sometimes. Actually, that's pretty cold for Calgary. Like parts, obviously Canada, there's colder than that in some parts, but it's pretty chilly.
You realize like people here can't even comprehend what that means. You might as well just be on another planet because that's just...
They're like, so you visited the moon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to take a second to reintroduce Patrick. It's been a while. So, Patrick, we are going to have an amazing conversation, which is like part of our pain points in working together, Patrick and I, is all the things that he deals with and teaches me on a regular basis. So, anyways, his accolades are worthy of the things he's going to talk to us about. So, number one, he went to UC Berkeley. He did undergraduate law there. He was in their Lester Center for Entrepreneurship as well. And after school, he had a couple different options on what he wanted to do, but decided, I'm going to get rid of all these amazing options and I'm going to start my own company. So him and a couple of his best friends were the CEO. Well, he was the CEO and co-founder of this company, WebGreek, which was a market leader in technology platforms for Greek life. So fraternity and sorority, they provided everything from member, donor management software, mobile apps, custom website design, brand consultations for over 500 college campuses and over 250,000 people. After that, there was Grouped. Grouped was WebGreek, but transformed a little bit. And they actually brought in their database to nonprofit organizations and streamlined their organizations. That company was acquired back in 2016. And he thought, you know, I'm not done with tech life. I'm going to do another project. So he became the senior UX and UI designer for a company called Postmonk. That company allowed real estate agents and resellers to automatically repost listings to Craigslist and keep their content in front of more buyers than any other platform. And after that, we were we were living together. We were about to get married and we're in Seattle now. He decided, I want to change up my pace. Greek life. Tech life is hard work for anyone who doesn't know that, but we won't even go into that right now. So he decided to go into commercial real estate. So he joined Newmark Knight Frank and worked in commercial real estate for almost 5 years in the greater Seattle area. And then that led to Costa Rica. So while working in Seattle, we took a trip down to Costa Rica. And during that time, during our vacation, we realized that we wanted to make a move down here. And one of our early conversations was like, Roya, do not want to be in charge of a business. Like, I don't want that. And as we sort of talked about it, and Patrick's like, I think we could do this. I was like, I don't want to run a business. And I think you'd be really good at it. We need to figure out our lanes of who does what, which we still talk about daily. But he became and took on the role of managing an optometry practice, which he had no experience of, aside from all of his, you know, business accolades and all the things he had learned as a CEO of multiple other companies. But he is now the managing partner. And essentially what I tell people is runs everything that like we never got trained on. We don't have any interest in doing for the most part as optometrist. And he's done it with flying colors. So all that's to say, welcome, Patrick.
Thank you. That was a long intro. I appreciate it. But I'm just happy to be here.
It's kind of cool, you guys. What I think about is the reality that majority today, unless it's, you know, multi-locations and maybe a little more on the corporate side, most private practices typically have doctors in that role that are also managing and doing HR. And they, you know, we have managers, of course, but a lot of the business still falls on the practice owners who are also seeing patients at the same time. So I like this combination. I'm excited to hear more as we go on about kind of how this all fits together.
Yeah, it's actually been a lot smoother than I would have expected, to be honest, because we kind of have to stay in our own lanes. I can't even pretend to know what she's talking about, right? And like, I want to be dangerous enough to have like the terminology, but I can't jump in and try and tell her what to do and vice versa, which has been really helpful because you just kind of have to respect and understand that, you know, your partner is doing things, you know, obviously working hard and doing things the right way.
But that's kind of the beauty of it. Yeah. It's really cool because you both have, it brings two different, it's the yin, the yang. I don't know how you want to look at it, but the two different parts that are both necessary and allows for a greater focus on each side. That's kind of cool. I didn't realize that. Yeah, no, I actually, you know what, Pat, I did hear, you know, this is a really cool partnership for you guys.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard because most people, let's say, you know, you wanted to start at an optometry practice, most people wouldn't be able to afford to do this, to be honest, because you need to pay your CEO. You need to, if you have someone who has a lot of skill that in opening a business, most of the time that's not someone in your own family, right? So Patrick and I are a year and a half in essentially to starting this. I mean, obviously a lot more, but a year and a half in of being in Costa Rica, and we really haven't paid ourselves yet, right? Like, so most people couldn't afford to do that with somebody in charge of their business. You need to pay them like fairly to get the value of somebody who has all these expertise. So I definitely find myself blessed in knowing that I have someone like Patrick, you know, doing all the things that we need to do to succeed in this foreign country. But most people couldn't, because you need to pay someone that has this knowledge a lot more. So I'm sorry, Patrick, that I haven't been able to pay you, but I've given him stock,
so much stock. I'm excited for it to pay off.
Right. Well, today's episode is, I think, going to be kind of fun because we have, I mean, as we've been working together, there's a lot of things that I've been learning, and we, you know, we were talking about different topics of conversation for the episode, and this one came up and I was like, yes, like, stop now. This is what we're talking about. So we're talking about the importance of SEO and kind of SEM for a business. So let's just for a second, Sheila, what is SEO?
I was going to just ask Pat just now.
No, I want you to answer first. I want you to answer first.
SEO, CEO, all these acronyms. I don't know, you guys. I'm going to guess. So actually, I already know the answer. Let's be real.
Don't cheat.
So SEO, well, I've got it right in front of me. How am I supposed to not cheat? It's right here.
Don't read our notes. What do you think SEO means?
Search everything online.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. It's easier.
Yeah.
What does it actually mean, Pat?
So, and this is why I think the conversation is so important for optometrists, because it really plays a huge role in how patients today find your practice. But kind of like the layman definition, well, how would I put this? It's essentially the process of trying to improve and make changes to your website and the content to help search engines bring traffic to your page based on the content that's on it and what people are searching in those search engines. Like, you know, someone types in eye doctor, like how well does your website rank in terms of, you know, the order it's brought up in, like, let's say Google. You search eye doctor, like, are you the first, the second, the third site that it brings up?
That seems overwhelming. How could you possibly have your office show up in remotely the top section in your area?
You know, the thing
on
is,
any web search.
Yeah, I will say, like, when I first got into it, I was a bit overwhelmed. But the reality is, it doesn't actually take all that much work once you get past, like, the scary part. Because really what you're doing is you're just trying to be authentic with your content about your specialties. You know, are you the best, you know, pediatric, you know, whatever you focus on. I'm ensuring that your website has all that content so that, let's say, Google can deliver the quality content that a potential patient would be looking for, right? And if you do that better than other doctors, say it again.
When you say the scary part, you just mean like SEO, or like what part is the scary part?
Well,
like
I think this,
the fact that you don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, well, okay. So let me ask you two. Let's say you want to, I tell you, hey, doctors, you need to improve your SEO. Where would you start?
I would Google who's somebody that can help me with my SEO. Exactly, exactly.
And then Pat, you better hope you're the one, the top 10 in the list that comes
up. I will be. it's just my face. That's it. And my phone number.
The top 4 ranked websites, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just different headshots of me.
Okay, so same question back to you then. I want to improve my SEO. Like, where do you start?
Well, the first thing, I think we should back up a little bit, maybe even not just like where we start, but like why this is so important. It's like we defined SEO and like kind of what it is, but okay, so let's now say like why it's important, right? It's like there are potential patients out there looking for your service. And if you are not one of the top 3 ranking like pages, when they type in whatever it is that they type in to Google, which keep in mind, people have very different ways of typing in what they're looking for into Google. If you are not one of those pages, Google or Yahoo, whatever people are using, it can't help increase your visibility, the amount of traffic. And of course, most importantly, you won't be getting those potential new patients another practice will. And it is vital. And that's why I think this, you know, this discussion beyond just like the definition of SEO is so important, because it really is a game changer in terms of bottom line revenue for an eye care practice.
Not to like distract us too much, but I've heard you talk about this before and I think it's worth talking about again. So Google, why does it make it like, why is there a whole field of SEO? Like, why is there literally an acronym for SEO? Like, what makes it unique in searching for pages? Okay. Why do they do that, basically?
Let's see. What's a good way to describe this? Okay. So, you know Cinderella? So, Cinderella, there's like a prince, right? And he's got all these suitors that are trying to come, like, marry the prince. Let's pretend that that prince is...
Princess.
No. The prince. The princesses are all courting in Cinderella, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the way it works, right? I think so. Yeah. So everyone's trying to court the prince. And
people would know
let's
this
say the let's say the prince the prince is your potential patient. But this prince has a really, really smart bouncer named Google. And all your eye care practices are the princesses trying to court that patient. Well, if you aren't the best, let's say if your content on your website does not portray your office as being the most, you know, studied dry eye specialist. Let's say that's one of your focuses. Or let's say you're a great, you know, scleral lens fitter. If your website does not adequately convey that you are the best, you're not going to get past that bouncer and get to the prince. That's what Google's essentially doing. It's looking for authenticity.
You're not in the VIP line.
Exactly. You can't get in the VIP line. You don't even get a date. There's no glass slipper, no dinner.
Life
so,
is hard.
Yeah.
So hard. SEO is to, like
you're
the VIP list.
You're sweeping the streets.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the question of why, like, what is the first thing that someone needs to do when, like, how? What do you start? Where do you start?
Okay. Well, first thing that I would do is I would hop online on whatever your favorite browser is, let's say Google, and I would type in best eye doctor near me. And I would see where my website ranks, because that's arguably one of the more important things that someone might type in. And that's going to very quickly give you a reality check of, is my website showing up for potential patients? And are you ranking for those keywords? And when I say keywords, what I'm really meaning is two things. The most common phrases that someone would be typing in, like I just mentioned, best eye doctor, let's say best eye care, whatever it might be, in your market. And then the second is, are you ranking for your specialty? Like, let's say you're a pediatric specialist, you know, you're a dry eye specialist. Start typing those keywords in. And again, just do that for 10 minutes. And you'll very quickly realize whether or not you're your page is showing up for potential patients. So that's where I would start. Because that's going to give you the reality check of, hey, I'm actually like the top. I mean, maybe you're lucky. Maybe someone, whoever built your website, just kicked ass and you are the top, you know, 1, 2, 3 result. Because let's be real. When was the last time you girls clicked on page 2 of Google?
What's that?
Exactly.
How do you get there?
Precisely. You know, they didn't even know they had multiple pages.
I just taught my 6-year-old when shopping online how to pay attention to reviews.
There you go.
And ignore anything that's not a 4.6 or higher
yep.
for a product.
Yep.
It's a tough market out here for everything, you know?
Yep. And that's honestly, that's a whole separate discussion that we could dive into that is obviously related, but like Google reviews, Google obviously wants their reviews on Google, right? So like your page can rank as well for how many 5-star reviews you have on your page, you know, with the little map that shows up on the right-hand side, which is obviously vitally important as well. Because then they're seeing your website, they're seeing a link to it, and they're seeing that little 5 stars, 99 positive reviews, right? I mean, what's more powerful than that?
Fact.
Yeah. So that's where I would start.
Okay, so you start by like figuring out, number one, am I even ranking?
Correct.
Especially for the things I really want to do,
correct.
Right? Okay, so what if you're not?
Okay, so there's for the fortunate few who are ranking, great. You're good for now. Maybe check back in
skip
6 months
episode.
Or a year. Exactly. Skip this episode. You're good. Get a cold one. Go hop in a pool. Okay. So the next thing is, how do you know which keywords, you know, which phrases actually matter? As in, what are the most common phrases that someone who is in need of eye care or whatever your services are, what are the most common phrases they're typing in? So to find that out, you know, you need a tool. And thankfully, there's some incredible free tools out there that help you understand like what are those important phrases that are being entered into search engines. For example, let's say you want to know how often best eye care provider near me was popping up in New York, New York. Well, I can definitively tell you that in the last month, there were 9,900 searches for that exact term in New York, New York. Right. So that's super valuable information. And you can even drill down to like, you know, the part of the city that you're in. Obviously, that's a really tight market. But that's what I mean. These keyword planners help you understand exactly how many times a particular phrase was typed into a search engine last month in your market. Like, what's more powerful than that?
Okay, so for a sec. Okay, you go first. Yeah. You go first.
So the first, well, I mean, this is very, so they're called keyword planners is what, so I was starting to get a little, not lost, but just, okay,
yes.
So to find out where you rank, figure out what the key phrases are. The tool in general is called a keyword planner.
Correct.
Do you have any specific resources that you said are free that you said people can actually use?
Yes. So the one that I use or that we use is built into Google. It's called Google Keyword Planner. And we use it because we also have Google Ads that we serve up to potential patients. But that's more related to search engine marketing, which itself could be multiple episodes. So if you're using Google, the Keyword Planner, there's a couple other ones, SEO Power Suite, KeywordTool.io. Then there's one like Keyword Finder. It's KW Finder, I think.
Okay, wait. So we started by saying Google yourself and like say, you know, best eye care provider by me or like dry eye expert by me or like these different things that are hopefully going to see, A, do you even rank? But now we're going and saying you need to figure out a keyword planner. I guess my question is like, what is the point of this? To see like how people are even searching or what do you mean?
Correct. So when I say so the keyword planner is just the tool. Let's imagine that imagine it like Google, but you're typing in a phrase that you think people might be typing in. And instead of it giving you websites, it gives you a list of different variations of that phrase and how often someone has typed that in to Google in like, let's say, you know, where you were in Seattle, Washington, right? So why is that important? Well, you can now type in all the phrases you think a potential patient might type into Google when looking for your services. And you can create what it's a keyword plan. So basically a list of these phrases and the total number of searches for those keywords. I mean, for example, that New York, what we were just talking about with New York. So that's 9,900 searches for, best eye doctor near me. But you could have 30 different variations related to your practice, and you would have some total of, let's call it 100,000 searches. And every one of those searches is literally a potential patient. And so if you are the top 1 to 3 results for every one of those, imagine how many new patients your practice is going to start bringing in. And that is literally bottom line, like game changer for your books.
So what you're saying is Sheila built a website. She's so proud of it, but Sheila's not getting any new patients from it. And it's because she's not a key planner. I'm just kidding. Like, what the heck? Okay, so we know that Google's the bouncer.
Yep.
And we know that you have a cool club and you want people in. But like, how? So like, you can't just like make a nice website, and like, what do you do to the in-between? Like, how is this some secret? Or
it's really not a secret. I mean, so the next thing after you have that keyword plan, all you really want to do is ensure that your website has content related to those keywords, so that when Google, it's called crawling, Google literally scans when your website's done, it scans it for every word, image, title tag, page name, URL, meta tags. I know I'm using a lot of words, but I'll explain those in a second, but it scans everything. And then based on the content on your website, Google then says, okay, this is a really quality website for these keywords. So I'm going to serve it up to potential or people that type this in, because this is a good resource, right? Like, this is the best eye care doctor based on this content. And so when, patient A in New York types in best eye care near me, Google says your website deserves to be up top because of the content that's on it.
How do you keep up with if offices are always one-upping each other and optimizing their website for to be found faster and better on Google? How do you even compete? Like, how often do you have to look at these things? Because obviously you do it last year, it's not going to be number one again this year.
Well, I mean, this is why I think this is so important and such a killer competitive advantage. I mean, I'm talking to two well-versed, experienced eye doctors. When was the last time you two touched SEO? I mean, if you would be very surprised at how many offices are not doing this. And imagine, if you're playing, everyone else is in the peewees, and all of a sudden you like level up to like World Cup status and you just crush your SEO and you go from not ranking to consistently being one of the top 3 results for the thousands and thousands of people that are looking for your services. I mean, it is an absolute practice game changer.
Well, I guess in the search things that people search might change too. So how often do you check the office? Like, how often do you look at, say, your website now for the office in Costa Rica? Like, do you follow this, like the stocks, like every day, weekly, monthly? How often do you have to look yourself up and do this process?
No, but that's a funny business idea. Just building like a keyword ticker that, people from like.
Well, I wonder if in the future it's going to turn into that. Like, what about if everybody is doing this to a really high level in a couple of years or however long it takes? It's going to get cutthroat, to keep up on in the top couple spots.
Yeah, it is. But there's also like historical authenticity, right? I mean, the longer you've been in the game, the longer you've been doing this, and as long as you're staying up on it, you get some preferential treatment there, which is great. But the reality is I probably type in, eye care, best eye care, Costa Rica, best eye doctor, Costa Rica, or in our market, Tamarindo, once every couple months. I mean, it really isn't hard, to be honest. Like, once you've got it set up, it's a, mm-hmm. you know, check it whenever it comes to mind type thing. Google does change their ranking algorithm often, but the changes are typically minor. And if there's something major, they'll notify you. Like I get an email from Google when they do a major update.
So I want to just like repeat back some of the things that I'm kind of learning. So the point of SEO is that there's like billions, probably maybe more than that, of websites, right? And even within your own ranking, like your own genre or niche, there's hundreds of thousands or millions. I don't even know. And the point of SEO isn't some like big scheme. It's really just like what websites actually come up when someone searches something, like what are prioritized as good content. So Google uses some algorithm to figure out you're like, this is garbage. I'm not going to show this to my people. And this is good. Yes. Right. And so you can build a website. Let's just say I want to start a new venture. I want to start a new practice. I'm going to go online and I don't have that much money yet. Right. I'm a new practice. I got a lot of places to like put all of my startup capital. And I decide I'm going to build my own website on Wix. I'm going to write all my content out. That's kind of the hardest part, right? And so I'm going to like find a keyword planner and then try and specifically put those words in my website so that my page ranks better. Is that kind of the right way to say it?
Yeah, it does. You care if you're ranking in your market. That's what's so important, is that Google helps you understand like what people are searching near you. Like you can literally adjust it and be like United States, Austin, Texas, you like zip code. I mean, you can really dial it into your market. That's what you care about, right?
Patrick, my overwhelm level just went down many notches with that. That is very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So that actually makes things a lot more doable.
Exactly.
Competition is overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And like, what, how do you
want to be the best in the world?
Yeah.
But then it just becomes, now that you phrase it that way, I'm very competitive. I have no problem, but like,
yeah, there's not like an Olympic podium for SEO where they only give out gold, silver, bronze.
Or is there an underground that's a whole nother world.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just
where
local.
Do we rank in the world? Yeah. I want to know that too.
Well, the thing is, that's the way Google works, though, is that when you're typing something in, if it's very intelligent in the sense that it understands for the most part if you're looking for something near you. If you're looking for an eye doctor, you know, it's not going to serve up an eye doctor over in Indonesia to someone that's in Austin, right? I mean, it understands that the most relevant stuff is near you because that particular service is an in-person service, right? You're not online shopping for something that can be sent to you from anywhere in the world, right? So that's why for eye care practices, you know, think about how many eye doctors are in your competitive market. That's who you're trying to beat.
I just Googled world's best optometry clinic and it did bring up some like websites of like, you know, random ophthalmology things, but it still gave me top in my area only.
Exactly.
It like wouldn't give me the world's like, I just couldn't make it do it.
Well, here's the thing.
It's too smart.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, yeah, it is too smart because Google is probably like, who writes world's best optometrist on their website? These guys are idiots. Like, no one's like, where
it's
is
like
their
a waste.
Rank?
Like,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's a total waste. Like that's not what people really care about. And it's not what an authentic eye doctor is really going to put on their website either, right?
Unless you're Sheila and Roya, yeah, who want to be world's number one
by
all the time, right?
Universe is best.
Universe is
So I think the other thing that's really important to understand here too is if you think about your website like a book, right? It's got different chapters. There are titles of each chapter. There's the name of the book. Well, the name of the book is your URL. Like, for example, our practice is Ojos Del Mar, and our website is ojosdelmar.com. That's your URL. Our URL is your URL is obviously important because you want it to be the name of your practice. Because if someone is looking for your practice, that is the number one ranking is the URL that you've got in there. So if someone types in Ojos Del Mar, we're showing up. Doesn't matter where it is in Costa Rica, like. So that's super important, right? So that's the your page name, your URL. The next level down for this book is the chapters, right? Well, the chapters are what's called page names. So your homepage, your about page, you know, let's say you're a specialty practice, dry eye care, you know, or care to come, whatever the name of your pages are, those are your chapters. Well, each one of those chapters has what's called a title tag. So a title tag is super important. Well, you know, when you type whatever it is into Google, the title tag is literally the name of the website that you click on the link. Like, for example, ours is Ojos del Mar World Class Eye Doctors, Tamarindo, Costa Rica. Because that's what someone sees. Literally, it's the title that someone sees in Google.
So that's the listing on Google.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily say ojosdelmar.com. Yep. It says Ojos del Mar World Class Eye Doctors location. That you chose that?
Yes, we chose that.
Or like who picks that?
Anyone who owns a website can type that in. It's literally the title tag for the particular page. And each one of the chapters or pages on your website has its own title tag. So for example, let's say for us, someone has keratoconus. Well, if they look up Eye Doctor Keratoconus near us, it will not, Google is so smart, it's not going to give them our homepage. It's going to take them directly to our keratoconus treatment page. So when someone clicks, someone who's looking for keratoconus, they're not going to go to our homepage because that might only have a little bit of information. It will take them directly and serve them the page for keratoconus. So they're going to start seeing things, you know, what is keratoconus, treatments for keratoconus, you know, your particular specialty and your background, and obviously buttons to schedule an appointment. Because the importance of these title tags is that Google is giving the user, your potential patient, the exact or the most pertinent information to what they need. And those title tags are what help your SEO rank. Like, it's super important. So naming those pages, you know, having eye doctor, eye care practice, maybe the name of your specialty or whatever is going on that page, because that's what Google crawls and is like, oh, this is a really good website. Look at this. Boom. It has almost exactly what someone is searching. Right. Does that make sense?
I like that. So how do you title your page? Like, because you already have a page name like Keratoconus. So how do you make this title tag?
So every website editor has the ability to do it. It depends on what you're using. If you're using Wix, we need to do a screen share so I could show people what to click. But when you're editing the page, it will have, the name of the page. It shows up in the headers, right? You land on a website and it's like, oh, about us, right? That's the page name. Well, about us will also in Wix have a section where you type in the title tag. And the title tag is literally what is going to display went in Google search results. It's like the top line, the one that's like, it's literally the link that you click, right?
Yep.
So equally, if not more important, or just as important, is what's called the meta description. And that's,
Of course, it's more important.
But truthfully, what this is, going back to like the book analogy, this is the content. Or like the description of the chapter, like the chapter summary, right? So, in Google, where there's the link.
TLDR. It's your TLDR.
Google, the link that you click on. And then underneath, there's like a 2-sentence description that you can read. And it's like, world's best eye care practice providing, prescription glasses, sunglasses, in-office laboratory, blah, blah, blah. Anything. That is the meta description. And that also is crawled by Google. And so having those keywords, if I'm thinking back to like the one that we have for Ojos del Mar, it's like number one rated eye care clinic offering comprehensive eye exams, dry eye, comfort care, top ranked eye doctor, prescription glasses, sunglasses, especially contact lenses, that type of thing. And then our location, we have Tamarindo, Guanacaste, so that it shows up relative. But that description is super important. And just literally just with those, like with the content that's on the page and then doing the title tag and meta description, you will be amazed at how much it improves your ranking. So that's what I mean, Sheila, to your question at the very beginning. It's scary, like, what do I do? Once you wrap your head around the fact that it's literally just naming the chapters of your book, you're titling your book, naming the chapters, and putting a chapter summary into your website editor, it's really not that hard. You just have to kind of get past that. And if you're too busy to do it, you know, a recommendation would be hopping on a website like Upwork and hiring an SEO guru from anywhere in the world, you know, for $15 an hour or something. Just to do like a quick once over, they could probably do it in, you know, a single day. And, you know, you think about, you know, let's say it's 8 hours, $15 an hour, whatever it is. Like, you know, so you're going to throw in, let's just call it $100 for the day, right? For $100 investment, you can now start showing up in the top 1 to 3, or let's say 1 to 5. I don't know how good of a job they do, but we'll certainly help you in front of thousands of potential patients. Like, what does that mean in potential revenue to a practice? Right? It's a slam dunk, no brainer. And
slam dunk.
Slam dunk. Slam dunk. Alley oop dunk it.
Compared to like the majority of people that are just like ignoring it, blissfully ignoring the fact that they don't have anything meta on their website.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Honestly, I feel like I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. I need to sit and like wrap my head around all this because I feel like I should know this, but I don't. And
no, I'm glad you don't, because then you'll start telling me how to do it.
Hey. But it doesn't, like, I guess the bigger thing is like, go. Okay, I want to say one quick thing. We have way more to talk about. I feel like we could make like, I don't know, 10 more episodes on just like questions specifically about this. But I think one thing that I've learned from you too is the power of like ChatGPT and all of these online generators. And if you don't have the time or wherewithal, or even the like, you know, it feels overwhelming to put a meta description on each of your pages, could you not also just ask, you know, type in on one of these different AI platforms, write me a meta description for this website? Would that work?
Not only could you, but you definitely should. I mean, why waste time doing it yourself?
That's a whole nother, we'll save this.
Can we have you back and talk more about this stuff? Cause this is getting easier and easier. Cause you got to keep up. Like you can't let these things go. So focused in a clinic on patient care and like being a good doctor and get along with your patient. Everybody's like, you know, that whole side of things it's important, but this whole tech side, I mean, you're left behind if you can't figure it out and keep up.
For sure.
It's here to stay.
Yep.
It's not. And like you said, it's not only should you, or what did you say? How did you say
not
that?
Only should
not
you,
only
but
could you,
not only could you, but you should.
No, yeah. Not only could you, but you should.
Yeah.
You better.
And I would go even one. I would go one step further and say, you know, not just the AI part for writing content, but in regards to SEO, it's not like could you or should you. It's you need to, because if you're not doing this, the further you, the longer you wait, the further behind you fall. And in the future, like everything is tied to, you know, your mobile phone, people talking to Siri, you know, AI serving up. And, you know, now Bing has AI built into it. ChatGPT is even built into it. You know, so tech is what is putting your your eye care practice in front of potential patients. You know, people aren't hopping in yellow pages anymore. And obviously there's, you know, you spoke earlier about, you know, Google reviews, super important, also tied into this as well. That's another episode. But aside from what I truly believe to be the most valuable resource is a friend or family referring, like personally referring you a practice, right? Like that's never going away. But right behind that, if someone doesn't have someone referring them personally, it's this. And so you better get on that train because it's leaving the station.
Love this. This is fun.
Amazing. I feel like I was just thinking like Ask Jeeves. No one really, well, maybe they do still use that, but I think we should have a new segment called Ask Patrice.
Oh man, can we please
ask
work
Pat
on that?
Or
we
something.
Ask ChatGPT for a better name.
I'll let you come up with your name. I won't stick to that name, but I do want a name and I'll ask that to you. You have 30 minutes to report back.
Okay, well.
But no, I feel like I'm going to put a segment on our Instagram or send us a message or whatever. But if you have a topic within this, you know, general field of like tech and eye care, send it to us and we'll do an episode on it. Cause I feel like a lot of us have a lot to learn and it is very approachable, especially when you break it down like that, Patrick. So hopefully we can have you back.
Send it to us and we'll ask Pat.
Exactly. Thank you for taking your time to chat with us and teach us a little sum today. We really appreciate it. If anyone has any more questions, definitely send us a message. And how else do people reach out and learn from you, Patrick?
Why don't we just keep it at the Ask Pat thing? I feel like funneling everyone in one direction is probably better.
I like that. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking your time today to join us and teach us a little something. And can't wait to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun, ladies.
Well, we've come to the end for today. We do want to hear from you as always. So please reach out to us with your feedback, questions, stories, things you're interested in hearing from us either through our Instagram or Facebook. And we can't close today's show without saying thanks to Valley Contacts for both making great products and for being amazing people to work with. Be sure to tune in and listen to our next episodes. But until then, try not to blink.